And as you walk up, I want you to look this man in the face and ask yourself, did he have to die?
Say his name, George Floyd!
Say his name,
George Floyd!
Say her name,
Breonna Taylor!
Say her name,
Breonna Taylor!
It is not easy for our young people that look like you and I to be able to walk the streets at a certain time of the night. This is not okay.
Those are sounds from across America this summer, following the mass circulation of a clip of a police officer kneeling on the neck of an African-American man named George Floyd.
George Floyd reignited the conversation about police and their roles in America, specifically their relationship with African-Americans.
Amidst the protests and discussions about the issue, one particular phrase seemed to take precedent.
Defund the police.
Exactly.
And you hear it everywhere now, but I don't really know what it means.
Yeah, neither did I, but I figured out it's a whole lot more complex than it seems. Hey everybody, my name's Quinn Broderick.
I'm Kylan Chung.
And we're both seniors here at St. Ignatius College Prep.
And this is the Crime, Law, and Constitution podcast.
So what exactly does defund the police mean?
Here. I found this from Michael Balsamo. He's a writer from the Associated Press, and so he said in his article, supporters say it isn't about eliminating police departments. They say it's time for the country to spend more on what communities across the U.S. need, like housing and education.
Okay, well, I mean, that sounds nice, but aren't you kind of de facto eliminating those departments when you take away their funding?
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. Those opposed to defunding would agree. They'd say that there would be a delayed response to 911 calls. There'd be fewer police on the streets, and there'd be a lack of police capacity to respond to serious crimes, right? And I think in an odd way that defunding the police would most significantly affect the poor and the marginalized. According to Jacqueline Helfgott of the Seattle Times, wealthy neighborhoods are already hiring private security, while the poorer neighborhoods will just be left to fend for themselves, right? So, I mean, these problems will increase fear of crime and render victims of crime helpless and subsequently wreak havoc on communities, especially communities of color.
Well, I mean, that sounds very serious, but also a little bit melodramatic, maybe. I mean, I found from that same article by Blasamo that state and local governments spend $115 billion on policing in 2015 and 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw that too. And so I interviewed Mr. Darius White from SI, and I asked him this question, you know, and he touched upon the idea of reallocating the funds and where he personally thinks that they should go.
I think we have to think of these things systemically and think big picture too, right? Because I think the big question for me is understanding how are funds allocated, period, right? Because as an educator, we don't get that much funding in education. So, okay, if you defund the police, where does that money go? Does it go into schooling, right? And so I think going beyond just the defund the police conversation is having a conversation around where are taxes going, where are the other funding going. I understand the sentiment. I may not agree fully. I understand that people are frustrated with the police force. And I think we have to really invest in education. I'm saying that I'm biased as a teacher, but we have to really invest in education because we have to make sure that people know of other people's struggle and that we try to create a community of people working together to fight against systems that damage us all in different ways. So my heart goes out to the victims of police brutality as well as the officers, right?
That's a pretty good case for moving some of that police cash flow into our education. But I don't know. Are there more, I don't know if this is the right word, but deserving places for that possible extra cash?
Yeah. There are definitely other places that they can go to. And I mean, activists are pushing for it to be invested in alternative programs for marginalized communities, like an alternate emergency response. You know, in SF, Mayor London Breed has already enacted an alternative community to address, you know, nonviolent crimes, right? So, for example, say I was to call 911 for an overdose, instead of a police officer coming, it'd be a medical professional or a social worker.
Okay, and that solution also counters the idea that police would be undermanned, because the idea is social workers would be able to respond to incidents that police aren't necessarily as well trained in, you know? Mm-hmm. And it takes out the idea of possible unnecessary force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, I have a clip from a former special FBI agent, John Broderick, and his take on the role of police in our community.
So, to me, defund the police is synonymous with mob rule. And when we have various law enforcement agencies or governors and mayors and district attorneys who want to change the role of police or, and more importantly, make them ineffectual in doing their job, which they're supposed to do, is enforce the laws. And what you have then is you give cause for the lawless members of society. You give them initiative. You give them fresh air. And at that point, we have to realize that if there's no law and we result, if we allow the mob to rule, that we also, at the same time, the credible people, the patriots who will fight for this country and the people who believe in the country and just want to live, a peaceful, civic, free life, they will lose faith in the government too. So the point is, to me, the people who have come up with this term, they want to mischaracterize it so others could say, yeah, police could do different things, but they really want to destabilize society so that we all lose faith in our government and we all lose faith in our civic institutions and we all lose faith in this country, because in many ways it's to undermine the country and have a new order in the country.
Yeah, I mean, your dad brings up a really good point, right? That a lot of people don't understand what happens behind the scenes. And honestly, like, I think a big reason why is because they're all so focused and captivated by what they see on the media, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in the age we live in, you know, the internet age, everything is available everywhere in literally seconds. And I think that kind of creates two very distinct realities. I mean, the positive being, we can identify and address incidents and issues we previously couldn't have, you know, especially case in point, George Floyd incident with the film there. Mm. But there's also that negative aspect about, you know, there's a stigma that gets created around police, yeah, in this sense. And when all people see about anyone in a badge is bad, who's going to respect them, let alone, you know, aspire to become one of them?
Yeah.
Where is the next generation of cops going to come from if no one has respect for the police?
Yeah, right. I mean, like, you can't improve the institution if there aren't good people that are willing to be a part of it.
Yeah, and the whole defunding the police movement has really come to the surface because of the actions of what could be called bad cops.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, this idea of good versus bad cops is pretty interesting, right? I think a question that a lot of people have is whether or not it's their own implicit biases or it's the system that breeds them that makes them good or bad. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and there's not any real clear-cut data that speaks to either one. I mean, Mapping Police Violence, which is a respectable site, said that 28% of the 1,016 people killed by police in 2020 were African-Americans, when obviously they only make up about 13% of the population. And then there's also disproportionate numbers between violent crime rates and police killing rates. But on the other hand, reports from the Wall Street Journal say that 2019 police officers shot about 1,000 people, most of whom were armed and dangerous, and African-Americans were about a quarter of the people that the cops killed, you know, a ratio that has seemed pretty much the same since 2015. And, I mean, the share of black victims is far less than what the black crime rate would predict, again, Wall Street Journal, since police shootings are a function of how often officers encounter armed and violent suspects. 2018, the latest year for which the data has been published, African-Americans made up about 53% of known homicide offenders and 60% of the robberies. In 2018 also, I mean, there were 7,400 black homicide victims, and assuming a comparable number of victims from the prior year, only 9 of those unarmed victims only those nine unarmed black victims of police killings represent about 0.1% of all African Americans killed in 2018. And in contrast, I mean, police officers are killed at, you know, a rate 18 and a half times higher than a by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by a police officer.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely data, right? You just gave all of it. The data's right there, right? So, but I don't think it definitively says, you know, it's this side that's right or it's that side, but that is there, right? And so, you know, during my interview with Mr. White, he also brought up the role of police in our society. And, you know, at the end, he poses a good question. So here's that clip.
Coming back to what is the point of a police officer? I think asking that fundamental question, right? Because I know there's different sentiments of protect and serve versus law enforcement, right? And that's not to say officers make the rules, but they enforce it, right? That's how they've been created historically. And so I wonder sometimes, how does the role sometimes force good people to make poor decisions or to be in situations where they have to make very precarious choices, right? Because I think, with schooling, I think we need to invest in not only awareness of different struggles, but really thinking about understanding systems, but also individual character choices, right? In that, I would like young people to know that stealing's not the way, or hurting someone's not the way. But that needs to be reflected in our education system. That needs to be reflected by our government officials, where it's really hard to teach kids about being upstanding citizens when we're committing war crimes daily, right? Or it's really hard to teach kids about, you know, being a productive member of society when society extracts you for your work and treats you as a disposable piece of labor, right? You know, you think about police officers specifically, just because you remove one or two doesn't necessarily fix that system. I mean, if you are going to remove or rethink or retrain, you do want to look at the leadership, but you also want to think about the communities in which these people are serving in.
So, yeah. I mean, the question that he asked at the end is a pretty good question, right? And do I know the answer to it? Of course not, right? But, I mean, I think it's a good question for me and, you know, I would hope for all of us to, you know, I guess, just wrestle with, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the one question I really have left is, are any of these calls for change, like, have any real steps been made towards progress?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the proposal of the Justice for Breonna Taylor Act was introduced last June, right, in response to the altercation and killing of Taylor by police, following a no-knock warrant in places like New Jersey, New York, Michigan, New Orleans, and Baltimore. There's been like series of changes made to hold police accountable through public databases and dashboards, right? So they make sure that the use of force is tracked and monitored appropriately. And these things, though they may seem small, I'm sure that they're steps in the right direction.
All right. Well, I don't know if we really came to a conclusion regarding whether or not we should, you know, defund the police, but we definitely learned something.
Yeah, I think a part of addressing an issue is knowing the issue, right? We covered exactly what the phrase is, what some possible policing alternatives are, and we gave information on the state of police, right? And then we ended it with a couple of changes that you've been made. So, I think that there's still more things to be talked about, but I think we definitely did learn a lot.
Yeah, and I just want to give a quick thank you to Mr. Darius White and Mr. John Broder for their patience and opportunity for, you know, getting a chance to interview both of them. But yeah, not bad. Definitely a fascinating topic to cover, and it's definitely also relevant and important.
Yeah, definitely.